Welcome to another deep dive brought to you by the International Perfusion Association. This one's going to be really interesting, I think, especially for all of us cardiovascular perfusionists out there.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to be looking at a recent study that was published in the Journal of Extracorporeal Technology.
Okay.
And it's all about this this critical area for us, and that's the connection between MCS and the need for RRT.
Right. Yeah, that relationship between mechanical circulatory support and renal replacement therapy, it's a big one. And this study dives into some fascinating stuff.
It really does.
So this particular study, they took a look back at 129 patients who received MCS between January 2017 and October 2023.
Right.
And what they were really trying to tease out were the risk factors that could help us predict, you know, which of these patients on MCS are ultimately going to require RRT.
And why is that so important to be able to predict that?
Well, I mean, think about it. If we can identify those patients early on who are at higher risk, you know, maybe we can intervene sooner or adjust our management strategies to try and prevent them from needing RRT in the first place.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Or at least be more prepared if they do end up needing it.
Right. Absolutely. So what did they find? What was the incidence of needing RRT in this group?
Well, the study found that about 36% of the MCS patients ended up requiring RRT, which is a pretty significant chunk.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot higher than I would have thought.
Yeah. And what was really interesting is how they used machine learning to analyze all of the patient data.
Oh, man.
So they fed all this information into a computer model, all the patient characteristics, you know, their comorbidities, their past medical history, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the machine learning algorithms were able to sort through all of that data and identify patterns and connections that we as humans might not readily see just by looking at the numbers.
So it's kind of like having this extra set of eyes that can see things that we miss.
Exactly. It's like this powerful pattern recognition tool. And what it helped them uncover in this study were a couple of really interesting associations.
Like what?
So the machine learning analysis pinpointed a couple of unexpected links.
Okay.
One was a history of immunologic therapy.
Okay.
And the other was the presence of a pacemaker, or an ICD, an internal cardiac defibrillator.
Interesting.
And both of these factors independently were significantly associated with an increased risk of needing RRT.
Wow. And their model, how good was it at predicting, you know, who might end up needing RRT?
Well, they calculated a C index for their model, and it came out to be 0.81.
Okay.
Which, for those who aren't familiar with the C statistics, it basically means that their model is pretty darn good at predicting who might be at risk.
So let's break down these findings a little bit more. So you said that they found this connection between a history of immunologic therapy and the need for RRT.
Yep.
What were the actual numbers? Like, what percentage of those patients ended up needing RRT?
So of the patients who had a history of receiving some kind of immunomodulation therapy, 48% of them ended up needing RRT while they were on MCS.
Yeah.
Which is almost half.
Yeah.
And similarly, 47% of the patients who had a pacemaker or an ICD also required RRT.
It's pretty much the same.
Yeah. Almost identical, which is interesting in itself.
But then you said there was this even more striking finding when you combine those two factors.
Exactly. So if a patient had both a history of immunologic therapy and a pacemaker or an ICD,
yeah,
their likelihood of needing RRT jumped up to 66%.
Wow, that's a huge increase.
It is. And it really highlights the potential synergistic effect of these two factors together.
So what could be going on there biologically? Why would those two things together make such a big difference?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And the researchers, they put forward this really interesting hypothesis that I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm all ears.
It all revolves around inflammation. So both a history of immunologic therapy, remember, that involves manipulating the immune system in some way.
Right.
And the presence of these implanted devices, like pacemakers and ICDs, they've both been shown to be associated with a sort of a pro-inflammatory state in the body.
Mm.
Now, when you layer on top of that the stress of going on MCS,
right,
you have the initial period of low blood flow followed by reperfusion, and that whole process can trigger a really significant inflammatory cascade.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if a patient's already walking around with this kind of baseline level of inflammation that's been bumped up by these prior therapies or devices,
right,
it might be that the added stress of MCS is just enough to push their kidneys over the edge and into a state where they need RRT.
I see. Yeah, it's almost like they're primed for this inflammatory overload.
Exactly. It's like having this smoldering ember and MCS comes along and throws a whole bunch of kindling on it.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Now, of course, this is just a hypothesis at this point.
Right.
But it definitely warrants further investigation, because if it's true, it could have major implications for how we manage these patients.
Absolutely. So speaking of managing these patients, a big part of our job as perfusionists during MCS is handling the anticoagulation.
Oh, absolutely. That's crucial.
So did the study look at what types of anticoagulation these high-risk patients were receiving?
They did. And this is where things get really interesting, I think, for us.
Okay.
So they looked specifically at those patients who had either a history of immunologic therapy or a pacemaker or ICD.
The high-risk group.
Exactly. The very group that we're now thinking might be more prone to this exaggerated inflammatory response. And what they observed was that using unfractionated heparin or UFH, which is kind of our go-to or standard anticoagulant for MCS,
yeah,
it didn't seem to offer much protection against the need for RRT in this particular group.
Really?
Yeah. So 43% of the patients in this high-risk group who were on UFH still ended up needing RRT.
So it's basically like flipping a coin.
Pretty much. And what's even more intriguing is that there was this tiny little subgroup of patients in the study who received low molecular weight heparin, or LMWH, and none of them required RRT.
Wow. So is that a sign that LMWH might be a better option for these patients?
Well, it's hard to say for sure based on such a small sample size.
Right.
But it definitely raises a red flag.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe we need to look into this a little bit more.
Yeah, it's at least a clue.
Absolutely. And on the flip side, all four of the patients in the study who didn't receive any anticoagulation at all ended up needing RRT.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of underscores the importance of anticoagulation in general.
Right, yeah. But it seems like maybe the type of anticoagulation might matter even more in these high-risk patients.
Precisely. And the study authors, they actually call for further research into alternative anticoagulation strategies specifically for patients undergoing MCS who have these risk factors that we've been talking about.
So not just assuming that UFH is the best choice for everyone.
Exactly, because it might not be. And they also highlight the need for better bedside monitoring of coagulation parameters.
Oh yeah, that's been a hot topic lately.
It has, and for good reason. You know, if we could monitor things like clotting times and other coagulation factors in real time at the bedside, it would allow us to fine-tune anticoagulation therapy much more precisely.
Tailored to the individual patient.
Exactly, instead of just using these kind of one-size-fits-all protocols.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So beyond these findings about risk factors and anticoagulation, the study also touched on something that I think is really important, and that's the overall mortality rate associated with needing RRT in these MCS patients.
Oh, yeah, that's a sobering statistic.
It is. They found that the mortality rate for MCS patients who required RRT was 79%.
79%.
Compared to just 35% for MCS patients who didn't need RRT.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
It is, and it really drives home the point that developing RRT on top of already needing MCS is a really serious complication.
It's a really bad sign.
Yeah, it significantly worsens the prognosis.
And it just emphasizes how important it is to do everything we can to try to prevent it. Now, before we wrap up, I do want to acknowledge that this was a retrospective study.
Right.
Which, as we know, means it has some inherent limitations.
It does.
They're looking back at data that was already collected.
Yep. Yep.
So there's always the potential for biases and confounding factors that we can't fully account for.
That's true.
But in this case, the researchers did use these sophisticated machine learning techniques,
right,
to try and control for as many variables as possible.
Exactly. And that does increase our confidence in their findings.
Yeah, I think it makes their conclusions even more compelling.
Definitely.
So to kind of bring this all together, I think this deep dive into the Journal of Extracorporeal Technology study has given us a lot to think about.
Oh, for sure.
As cardiovascular perfusionists.
Absolutely.
The fact that they've identified these potential novel risk factors for RRT in our MCS patients.
Right.
Like a history of immunologic therapy and the presence of pacemakers or ICDs.
Yeah.
That's something that we really need to be aware of and consider in our practice.
100%.
And the idea that UFH might not be the best anticoagulant for all of these patients, that's another really important takeaway.
It is, and it opens up a whole new avenue for research and potentially for changes in how we approach anticoagulation for these patients.
Absolutely.
You know what I think is really exciting about this study is how it demonstrates the power of using data-driven approaches like machine learning to uncover these more subtle relationships within these complex patient populations.
Yeah, it's like it's giving us a new lens to view things through.
Exactly, and it raises some really important questions for all of us in the field.
Like what?
Like how can we take these findings and translate them into actual improvements in patient care?
Yeah, how can we do a better job of identifying those patients who are at high risk for RRT?
Right.
And then how can we tailor our management strategies, including our approach to anticoagulation,
exactly,
to give those patients the best possible chance of a good outcome?
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So lots to think about.
Yeah.
Lots to discuss. But for now, I think we'll leave it there.
Sounds good.
So to all of our fellow cardiovascular perfusion professionals out there, we encourage you to reflect on these findings from this study.
Yeah.
To stay informed about future research in this area.
Absolutely, because this is an evolving field.
It is. And to keep striving to improve the care that we provide to our patients.
Well said.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive brought to you by the International Perfusion Association.
Thanks, everyone.
See you next time.
See you later.